Welcome to episode 113, Soberman Podcast, formerly Al Berman Live from a studio apartment. This is the second podcast with the Soberman Podcast title. 111 episodes prior, it was Al Berman Live from a studio apartment. And for the longest time, I threw in North Hollywood, California, because I thought it was cute to have a really, really long title. And then after a while, it just really got on my nerves to have to type that every week and, you know, type it. It just, you know, on the social media that I was trying to drum up some social media interest. Anyway, if you are a fan or somebody who has listened before, maybe you hate the podcast, but you listen to it because you enjoy feelings of hatred bubbling up through your being. I've got a new intro that's recorded, but I haven't been able to actually implement it yet because it just the person that I'm that's going that says they can do it. We just haven't been able to connect. We had a couple of near misses. One day we were supposed to get together, and he had a backed up bathtub. He had to wait for the guy to come to clean out his bathtub, and it turned out the culprit was mounds of hair. Let that be a lesson to you folks with hair. I have hair. Let that be a lesson to me. And then the second time, we were supposed to meet at 12:30 in the afternoon the other day, and I confirmed it with him. Many times I said, tomorrow, 12:30. And the next day, 12:30 came, 12:35, 12:45, 12:50, 12:55. I text him. I go, hey, we were supposed to meet. I think I'm going to take off now. I'm not waiting anymore. And then he texts me back, oh, man, I thought it was 2:30. I think he did. He's been very busy. I mean, I don't think he lied, is what I'm saying. I don't think he lied to me. I think he truly thought it was 2:30, but anyway, we're going to get together. We have a plan to get together this week, and hopefully that will come about because I would like to implement this new recorded intro, and then maybe I'll keep the flute for the ending because I haven't figured out I don't have an ending thing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll just do the recorded thing at the end too. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And, you know, I record this. I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes, behind the curtain, behind the scenes here, the kind of expose the mystery behind doing a podcast of this nature and stature. I do this on my computer on what's called GarageBand, which is an application that I think Apple put together, because Apple puts everything together. And, you know, I heard that if you get GarageBand now, a newer version, you no longer have the podcast feature on there. But I'm assuming that you would have just the spoken word feature. So I guess it would work, you know, because I guess it doesn't really matter. You know, this podcast is just basically spoken word, right? And, but I'm paranoid. And every time I go into GarageBand, this has been happening for years, a little window pops up and goes, a new version of GarageBand is available. Would you like to learn more? And you know, I always say no, goodbye. And the thing about Apple, you know, I'm an Apple. I won't say I'm a devotee because I'm just someone that just doesn't want to change gears. Maybe it's a function of age. Maybe it's a function of my mentality. Maybe it's a function of the food I consume. No, I don't know. But I'm just, you know, I never had a cell phone until I got an iPhone. Now I'm on my second iPhone. I avoided, you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes to dig his heels in and not change and then complain that nothing's changing. That's what I do. That's what I've done. I'm trying to change that. See, I'm trying to change that. And how am I going to change that? I got to change something. I can't stay the same. But I think most of us don't want change. I think most of us just want to things to be copacetic. Is that the word? Copacetic? You know, status quo. But we also want, like, great, you know, advancement. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought we were going to have jetpacks to fly around in at this point. And apparently, I was just reading the other day that there is a jetpack. They're being marketed. I'm not sure if it's available now or will be available the next year or something like that. And it's only going to cost $150,000, which, you know, that'd be so cool. Wouldn't that be cool? But, I mean, you know, then there would be jetpack accidents at some point, because whenever you have humans, there's going to be some kind of accidents, and, you know, it could be kind of weird. You know, bumping into somebody else's body in a jetpack in the air. And also, I wonder how high you could go. You'd have to go high enough. I mean, it would have to be like, I would think it'd have to be at least 20 feet, no? To make it worth it? Maybe even a little higher. So you could, maybe 50 feet. So you can go over bridges? I mean, who knows? excuse me. This is my DIY, do-it-yourself podcast. And yes, I cleared my throat. I clear my throat during my show sometimes. Because that's the kind of guy I am. That's kind of talents I have. I can clear my throat. And I can continue this incredible show all at the same time. So, I'm starting to feel comfortable again. Last week, I felt a little bit out of podcast shape. And I have to admit to you, between you and me, and my microwave that's you looking at me, I'm feeling like I've got some of my podcast muscles back. Because if you know anything about me, I took a long break from this, and then I relaunched it last week with this brand new name, and my website is different, and a new website, and it's accessible on all devices, and I'm accessible on all devices, and so I needed to say that I feel kind of comfortable here. Like, I feel like I've hardly scratched the surface of what I can do with this thing. So, you know, I'm not that much into celebrities. And that's kind of a half lie, because actually, when I was a kid, I was so into celebrities. I lived in northern New Jersey, and I would go to New York City. I was like 13, 14 years old, and I remember I would go there and take the NBC tour. I would go with this friend of mine. And we took the tour many times. And one time we even tried to break in. We thought we would just break in and not pay for the tour. Like, so we tried a door on Rockefeller Plaza on the first floor to see if we could go in through the stairway, but it was locked. So we went on the tour, and, you know, it was so exciting. And I remember that Ed McMahon had a radio show. Ed McMahon, and for those of you who are not old enough to remember, was the announcer sidekick for the Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show. Hopefully I don't have to explain who Johnny Carson is. And I won't. I won't, okay? But anyway, Ed McMahon had a Saturday afternoon radio show. And when we were on tour one time, we saw him doing it, and he waved at us. And I couldn't have been more thrilled. You know, I went home back to my neighborhood in New Jersey, and I was, I saw Ed McMahon, and he waved at me. And then one time, me and my friend, we met, we met Robert Goulet. And Robert Goulet was a very well-known singer, actor, mostly Broadway star than anything else. And we were going to see a show he was in. And so we're walking around Times Square, and this is when Times Square was Times Square, you know, when it was funky and everything. And anyway, we're walking around Times Square, and we see him, and we go up to him. We go, hey, you know, Robert Goulet, hello. And he was, like, very nice. He's signed our autographs, and then we told him, well, we're going to come see your show. Oh, that's great, you know. And then we go see the show. And after the show, we went back to the stage door, and we saw that there was a big line waiting to get in. You could actually go in through the stage door and get an autograph with Robert Goulet. And so we decided, oh, well, you might as well just do it again. And, you know, we get a chance to go inside the building of a Broadway theater, right? And so we go in, and when I get, and he's standing in front of his dressing room door, and his wife at the time, a woman by the name of Carol Lawrence, who was also a Broadway actress, singer, I think she was a singer, yeah, I believe so. Anyway, she and him, she was there, and they kind of kissed, I remember, or maybe I'm just making it up, but I think they kissed, and then I think she went into his dressing room, and he was there, and he looked at me, and he totally remembered me, like, remember my name, and I was like, I went back to my name, Robert Goulet knows me, he knows, I know Robert Goulet, well, Robert Goulet and I are friends, we happen to be good friends, me and Robert Goulet. So the reason I bring this up is because, you know, as the years have gone by, I've met many celebrities, I've worked with many celebrities. I mean, I'm kind of a mini celebrity in some circles. I'll just say that. But anyway, I'll go so far even to say that I've influenced certain celebrities who I won't mention. They've mentioned me, but I'm not going to mention. And after a while, I realized, you know, especially when I've worked with some celebrities, you know, it's not a natural thing to be a celebrity. It's not a natural, you know, to have people always looking at, you know, like wanting to talk to you and get in your space. I mean, whether it's polite or impolite, I mean, if it's impolite, it's really bad. But even if it's polite, you might not feel like talking to people, right? And so, but the other day I saw a guy from a show that I had been watching, and the show has just, it went off the air recently. I'm not going to mention the name of the show. And it was one of those shows that at first I thought was good, and then I got hooked on, it was a guilty pleasure. I mean, it got to the point where I was actually heckling the screen during some of the shows because I thought, come on, are you kidding me? But this guy is very distinctive looking. And so he comes in to this supermarket, like a Whole Foods kind of place, but not Whole Foods, kind of place that there, and he comes in, and so I see him, and I kind of get, like, a little bit excited, like, oh, my God. And also, I know a guy that was a regular on that show. He's like, I wouldn't say he's a friend, but he's a pretty, you know, good acquaintance. We know each other. So so I see this guy, and you know, he had something terrible happen to him on the show at the end. You know, he was on for like a few, like many seasons until the end, and then he got done in. So I tried to make a joke like, hey man, I'm sorry about the thing that happened to you. And he's like, what? Now he could have been high. That's why, you know, for some reason, former drug addict, don't even take this into consideration. Somebody else pointed out to me, you know, maybe he was high. And he goes, what? And I said, oh, I'm sorry about the thing. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then I mentioned, a friend of mine, I mentioned his name, was on that show with you. And he goes, I don't know that guy. I said, really? He played this character, which was a regular character. Oh, yeah, I know him. And then I was like, okay. And I was like, I thought to myself, I didn't have to have this conversation with this guy. Why couldn't I have just left him alone? But there's just something about celebrity that excites us. And I think I'm trying to get over that. A lot of times with celebrities, you know, there's the celebrity, like there's the person, and then there's sort of the entity of the celebrity that's with the person. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you meet people that are not celebrities, you know, you're just meeting a person. Hey, this is Joe. But when you meet like a celebrity, you know, somebody who's really well known. Then there's like that, they're the person, but then there's, I don't know if it's because we're projecting it, probably because we're projecting it onto them. And so for that reason, I'm not a big fan of celebrities. You know, I like to just leave them alone. And there's nothing worse than a very famous comedian, I think I told the story, I'm not going to mention his name again. If I did, sure I did before. But a guy that I really enjoyed his comedy, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I'd met this guy over in the course between 1990 and 2000, like, you know, 12, 14 times. We had a mutual friend, and he never remembered me. Fine, but one time I didn't start the conversation off by mentioning this mutual friend's name. He was extremely rude to me, and it affected my viewing his work. Not that he lost any money because of me. I wasn't spending any money on the guy, but anyway, what am I trying to say? I'm tired of celebrities. I'm tired. And speaking of celebrities, my celebrity doctor who did my hips. Sounds a little suggestive. He was the guy that did my hip replacement. So I send a friend over. I mean, I recommended my friend to this guy because the doctor is a specialist in hips and knees, and my friend is having knee issues. So he goes over there and, you know, he tells me he's going. And then later on, I'm talking to him, and I said, hey, did you mention me? Because me and the doctor got along really well. I used to make him laugh. And as a matter of fact, I mentioned at some point he would maybe come on the podcast. He said he would do it. But that, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, if I'm ever going to really want to do that. And so I say to my friend, did you happen to mention me? You know? And he goes, yeah, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but he had no idea who you are. And I don't want to say I was crushed, because I wasn't crushed. But I was let down. I go, me and this guy were like, I felt we were kind of tight in a way. I mean, after all, he was inside me. Now, that was suggestive. And so I realized, first of all, when this guy does surgeries, mine was like the first one was almost 3 years ago. The second was like 2 years ago. When he does surgeries, he does like five or six in a day. So how many, you know, hundreds or thousands has he done since me? So maybe he just didn't, I'm just thinking he didn't remember the name. But I think if he, you know, but I think I would be very disappointed that if he saw me and had no idea who I was, I would be like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? So I think if he saw me, he would know me. And, but I don't know. Maybe I'm fooling myself. I thought I meant more to him than just a pair of hips. Again, that's suggestive, folks. That is suggestive. Okay. So I found myself lately being the, person, getting in a boring conversation, but being the one that initiates it. And that's not usually me, okay? Because I'm not a boring conversationalist. And I'll give you a couple of instances. I had to go to a auto parts store this past week. And I went in there, and I was sent there by my mechanic. I have a mobile mechanic named Steve. He's from England, Steve. And, you know, he gets good deals. And, if you're his customer, you're the recipient of the deal. So so he sent me over to get some parts and to a specific gentleman there. And I forget, at one point, I'm talking to the guy, and I'm kind of joking around because I like to use my humor and a lot of situations like that to kind of lighten the loads of these people who work in, you know, mundane situations. And I try not to, I don't do it in sort of like a annoying, comedic, being on kind of comedian type thing. At least I hope I don't. I try to feel like it's more organic. It's just part of the situation. I just try to be me and listen and, you know, and basically that's what I do. And so I'm talking to this guy. Well, we wrap it up, and I forget exactly what I was talking about, but I start going into this story, and I get to see, I forget what it was. Oh, man, I wish I could remember what it was. He just had this, it was just like, ah, that's great, okay, man, thanks for coming. He just, get out of here, that's it, we're done. And I realized, this, you know, he doesn't want to hear this story. And I had the same thing happen to me. A couple weeks ago, I was staying at a hotel here in town because I had some work being done in my house. And I stayed in a very nice hotel where my dad stayed when he was here. And a really, really nice place. And what happened is I got a deal there through Groupon. You know, I call this website place, and I call this place. It was on a website place. You know, one of these like booking hotel websites, and they have a phone number. And it was pretty expensive. And the girl told me I go to Groupon because they advertise on there. She actually sent me away from her business, which was very nice of her. And so I go there, and I'm actually there, and I realize at some point, you know, I'm having a conversation with one of the guys there. And I'm telling about, like, yeah, so I went on this website. It was, boy, it was really expensive. So I went on, this girl told me to go to Groupon. And I went to Groupon. And, you know, and I just got this, you know, much better deal. And it, and I just, and I realized, holy mackerel, what am I doing? And the guy was like, oh, he's got that smile on his face. And he's like, oh, I got to keep up this smile on my face because he's a guest. And I'm like, oh, and I shut it down. So hopefully I will stop that. I don't know, again, is that a function of getting older? Or is it just that I was in a, you know, foreign situation? Because both a hotel and an auto parts store, because I'm not an auto guy. I am not an auto guy. Nor have I ever been, nor probably will I ever be. You know? That's just not who I am. But what I had a very interesting thing happen to me when I was at this hotel. I went there. Of course I went there. I brought, you know, my toothpaste, and I brought some toothpaste, and I got some, and I also had this skin cream, and both of them were in tubes, and I think you know where this is going. I woke up one morning, and I was kind of half out of it, you know, because you're tired, and I went to brush my teeth, and I started to brush my teeth with this skin cream, and because, and how did I know? Because there was, it didn't have the minty fresh feeling. It had a very weird, different flavor that said should not be in your mouth. So I spit it out. I look at the, you know, the package. There's a big warning: if swallowed, call your doctor and or the poison control center. And I'm like, oh my god, am I freaking gonna have to go to the emergency room because I accidentally brushed my teeth with this stupid skin cream? And so I'm not going to call my doctor because that's not going to go. I'm not going to get him on the phone. I'm going to get some girl who's going to be like, oh, the doctor, he's busy now. He'll call you at the end of the business day. That's because that's my doctor. That's what, when you call, that's what you hear. But my doctor's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. Anyway, so I call the so I look up Poison Control Center, and I call up, and some guy gets on the phone. Hi, this is Mark. I think his name is Mark. This is Mark, Poison Control Center. And I tell him what I did, and he goes, "All right, what's the name of the product?" And I no sooner get the entire name out of my mouth, he goes, "Ah, yeah, don't worry about that. You're fine." We get calls for that all the time, which makes sense because they're both in tubes. They're both the same color, red and white. I mean, come on. It's almost like they're egging you on to brush your teeth with this stuff. And I said, yeah, but it said, like, you know, don't, you know, swallow. He goes, you know, if you look on toothpaste, it also says don't swallow. If you swallow, you should call the Poison Control Center. He goes, these are all liability kind of fail-safes for the companies. I mean, you know, I'm not recommending you go out and have a buffet of skin cream in your mouth, but you're fine. And so, I was fine. I went out and then had a nice breakfast to wash away that skin cream taste. Although I have to say that my inside of my mouth was extremely smooth after that. Okay, folks, I think we have come to the end of a very lovely podcast. Thank you all, any and everybody or anybody or, you know, who listens to this. I just, very grateful. I'm hoping to make this into, you know, the kind of figure out how to get more people to know I'm around and get the, or you know, get the people that are supposed to listen to this to listen to this. It doesn't have, it's, I don't think this is going to be a mass media kind of thing, but I think I could get a pretty good, you know, niche. And I have a little bit of a niche, but I like my niche to be a little nichier, okay? I want more nicheness. Anyway, and I'm very proud. You know, I did one a week ago, and I'm on schedule a week later. So that's my goal, is to do, you know, about one a week, give or take a few. You know, we'll just play it by ear. It is DIY, do it yourself. It is punk rock. It's punk rock for 2015, folks. Anyway, until next time, this is Al Berman. Al Berman, that's my name. I was going to say Al Berman live from the studio apartment. But it's Al Berman from the Sober Man Podcast. Thanks for listening.